dignity,
security,
freedom,
respect, justice,
equality,
equality,
remedy,
protection,
fairness,
fair time,
citizen,
right,
will,
peace,
movement,
movement.
This is my mistake, let me make it good. I raised the wall, and I will be the one to knock it down.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
expression. Expression,
expression,
participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Charter Dana,
solidarity,
responsibility.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good day to our listeners. On CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a global collection of musicians. I'm Jim Hutchings, and today I'm joined by Crystal Giesbrecht and our special guest, Harry Kahn. Welcome.
Thanks for having us, Jim.
You're not supposed to just smile at me. People have to know that you're actually here.
We are indeed here in studio with Jim.
And you're not figments of my imagination. Okay. Let's see here. I see something that I neglected to do was turn up Harry's mic.
Harris. Yeah, it's Harris, actually.
Harris. Yeah. Right.
That's fine.
Okay, that's better. That's better. It's always better when we have your mic turned up. Alrighty, and so we are here because of the campaign called Stand Up Against Domestic Violence and a fundraiser that's going to be happening at the U of R. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you very much for having me at this radio station. This is what I'm organizing with the help of PATS and University of Regina Women's Center and Regina Immigrant Center, and also Sophia House. So it's a fundraising event, and also on the same note, we're creating awareness about this issue in Saskatchewan, because according to Stats Canada, unfortunately, Saskatchewan has the highest number of domestic violence cases registered. So when I heard this thing, this fact a while ago, I was like thinking to do something. And this is my second fundraising event for the community. The first one was for the homeless people. So that was the reason I chose this theme, you know, just to create awareness among the people, to let them know they're not alone. There are other victims too, unfortunately. And this help is available. All they need to do, you know, stand up and, you know, break the silence and seek help.
I'm just wondering, you say that we have the highest number. Can you give us sort of an idea how much higher the number is of incidents of domestic violence in Saskatchewan relative to the rest of the country? Do you have an idea, Crystal?
Yes, Saskatchewan has the highest rate of domestic violence of all of the provinces, actually. The only places that have a higher rate are in the territories, unfortunately. And to give you a little bit of an example of the scope of the problem, PATHS, where I work, and that's the Provincial Association of Transition Houses and Services, our member agencies help 4,000 women and children in the province every year. And that's just the people who are accessing those services, right? Mm-hmm. And police statistics report about 7,000 incidents of spousal violence in the province per year. The most recent statistic is 2010, and that's when we had about 7,000 incidents of spousal violence. And again, those are just the ones that were reported to the police. So when you kind of take both of those statistics into account, it really gives you the idea of the scope of the issue.
Wow. It's kind of depressing to think about that, actually. So,
It is, actually, because there's the highest number here, and then, that was the reason I decided to put like a comedy show. It's kind of, the two different things, domestic violence, totally mm-hmm. different, and the comedy thing is, it's both of them are so parallel. But I thought since I'm a stand-up comedian, mm-hmm. I know lots of comedians all over the Saskatchewan. So I thought it was a good idea to use the talent and, to promote or do something for the mm-hmm. community. And it's a big issue, and because it does affect, if somebody is a victim, it does affect the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was one of the reason why I chose this theme.
Yeah, you hear people say sometimes, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry. And I think we're in one of those situations. I have the feeling that, laughter is a pretty powerful weapon, against a lot of serious issues. This is definitely a serious issue.
I think you're right, Jim. And it's also something that we often talk about this with Amnesty International as well. But just because there's injustices or, upsetting things happening, it doesn't mean we need to do our work and be upset about it. Mm-hmm. You can make really positive change and make a difference while you're having fun. So mm-hmm. that's why events like this are good, because it's going to raise funds, it's going to raise awareness, and everyone's going to have a really good time at the mm-hmm. same time. You don't need to be depressed to make change, and that's what's really exciting and fun about this.
A good example is our letter writing on Tuesday nights.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have a good time there. So what exactly is going to happen at this fundraiser night, Harris?
Well, it's going to be the doors will open at 7 o'clock,
okay.
And the show will start at 7:15. So we have the opening act, which is a belly dance, and it's by the
I'm
group.
Up for that.
And the group name is Yalla Habibi. And actually, I was there yesterday at their studio to, kind of work with them to see if I can be part of their act.
Hey, good idea.
Which will be funny and more interesting, because I don't think so. I'm a good belly dancer, but my moves are funny.
And they're a really skilled group. They're really, really good to watch.
Are they going to fix you up with a costume?
That's what they were telling me. I was like, I'll think about having a costume. But it would be more funny if I have a costume, so I might think about it. And then there will be a belly dance. That will be an opening act of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, there will be the part two of the show will be a comedy. And mm-hmm. there will be 12, at my show, there will be 12 best comics of Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. And the headliner, he's coming. He's one of the top comics of Saskatoon, and he's coming down.
Oh, nice.
And his name is Daryl Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So he will be coming down from Saskatoon just to be part of this event.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
So who all is going to be in attendance there? Are there going to be some people with information?
PATHS will have some of our information there, and I think the other organizations will as well. But the real point of this event is the comedy. So mm-hmm. we're there to raise awareness about the issue and to have a really good time and hear all the comics, more so than to really, pass on the information or talk about the statistics and the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely myself and staff from the other organizations will be in attendance, and some information will be there. And something that's really good about an event like this is it's not just those of us who work in the field of violence prevention.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to bring in a lot of people from the university community, the business community, people from all over the city and the surrounding area, other places in Saskatchewan. So it's going to be really exciting in that it is raising awareness mm-hmm. with a different type of crowd than sometimes we have at, violence prevention type of events. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. I think one of the problems of the world we live in, it's easy to kind of live in a bubble and be unaware Maybe sometimes by choice, but sometimes just because you just don't know. You don't have the awareness that these problems exist and they're serious and they're not going away and something needs to be done. You know? I'm just wondering, I think you mentioned who the beneficiaries are, but what are the organizations again that are going to
be? Yeah, the funds raised from this event will be donated to 4 organizations that's helping me to promote this event and, you know, helping me to organize. So one of them, it's PAT, which is Provincial Association of Transition Homes and Services, I guess. And second is University of Regina Women's Center. Mm-hmm. Third one is Regina Immigrant Women Center, and the third one is Sophia House. So these are the 4 organizations that are helping me. Mm-hmm. So the fundraise will be donated to them.
Right. I was just wondering if we can just briefly touch on what each one of those organizations does, you know, that helps the awareness, you know, is helpful with regard to the situations we're talking about here.
Sure. Well, all 4 of our organizations were really lucky in that Harris chose us. Mm. So he chose domestic violence as his topic. And then he approached our organizations and said he was doing this fundraiser. He wanted to raise awareness. And were we interested? So the 4 of us were chosen because of our connection to providing support and awareness about domestic violence. So what we do at the Provincial Association of Transition Houses and Services of Saskatchewan is we are the provincial association for 19 different organizations across the province, and those are women's shelters and transition houses, second stage shelters, and counseling centers. Hmm. So all of our members are providing domestic violence services, whether it's residential or outreach to people who've experienced relationship violence.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of the recipients of the fundraising is Sophia House, and they are one of our PADS members as well, actually, and they are a second stage shelter in Regina. And a second stage is the second step that women go on to after an emergency shelter. Mm-hmm. So if you flee an abusive relationship, you often might go to a women's shelter where you stay for about 6 weeks. Second stage, you can stay up to a year.
Wow.
And there's increased safety and supports. So that's an option that some women choose to move on to second while they're continuing to kind of, you know, make new plans, and they need to continue to live somewhere safe and have those supports.
Mm-hmm.
The next organization is Regina Immigrant Women's Center, and they do a lot of counseling, outreach, supports for newcomer women, which is just a really vital service in Regina. And, you know, as we're seeing more and more newcomers, that's a really good resource.
Is that less concerned than with domestic violence?
I'm sorry? They offer at Regina Immigrant Women's Center a number of programs. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a domestic violence program, but they do...
But that's included.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. They offer... they have a group and they have supports, and they do work around that area as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important partner agency for some of PADS members and some of the other organizations also doing domestic violence work, to be connected with them, because the Immigrant Women's Center is somewhere that we want to refer newcomer women to as well. So a lot of the women we work with are often clients of one of the shelters, maybe, and the Immigrant Women's Center. So there's really good supports and counseling available there as well. And the 4th organization is the U of R Women's Center. And they do a lot of awareness raising about women's issues and violence against women. And they do work on local as well as global issues, and a lot of their work actually is fundraising for other organizations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the work and fundraising they do, they donate money to the shelters or to other women's organizations, and they're really active on campus with promoting these kinds of issues, and they've been doing a lot with helping promote the show and selling tickets, and they've been working really hard to get the word out as well.
Mm-hmm. So how are tickets going?
Well, they're going, I mean, we are selling lots of tickets so far. I think we sold like around close to 200 tickets.
Wow.
And I'm quite sure there will be more than 100 people showing up on the door for the tickets. So, like at my last show, I think we had around close to 150 people were there. So, and that was done at very short notice. Like one day I woke up and I decided I'm going to do it. What happened, like I woke up and I was reading a Leader Post news article about a homeless person in Saskatoon.
Right.
And I was like, I want to do something, and I will put a show together. And that's there. And then I decided, and I ended up putting a show within 20 days.
Wow.
And I was quite surprised, like 150 people showed up. And this time I am like, I'm 100% sure there will be more than 200 people showing up because it's a, you know, great for a great cause.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of organizations helping me, you know, like University of Regina Women's Center. They're doing an amazing job while promoting this event, you know, getting the word out. So tickets are going really great. And, you know, tickets are available at the door as well if somebody didn't get a chance to buy it yet. So they will be available at the door, and it's going to be $10. And it's for the good cause.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, one of the things that really makes me feel good about this is how easy things like this can happen if you just get people together. You know, you have the idea, you talk it up, you start to decide what you can do, and all of a sudden you get some momentum and things happen.
I would totally agree with you on that. Like, what happened the first year, which I did everything, and like I was the only person.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have a tremendous support from the community, from PATS, from all those organizations that I'm helping. And lots of my friends, like from the university, they say, if you need volunteers, just let me know. And like, I'm like, now I have a team, which I'm quite surprised and happy because now I'm not alone. I have a team. And now I have lots. Now I'm started planning for my another show, which will be maybe in June or July. I'm still working on the cause. So now I won't stop until, you know.
I was going to say, I mean, now it's going to sort of develop a life of its own. This is a problem that's going to be long term, unfortunately. So if you've got a bunch of people sort of looking ahead and say, well, we did this and we did this, why don't we try this?
Well, that's true. It's like, you know, like just, you know, because I've been living in Saskatchewan for almost like 7 years now. And to be honest with you, this is the first time I'm seeing event like at a bigger scale is being done for domestic violence. So I'm a little happy that, you know, like somebody me doing it.
Yeah, it's you'd almost say it's a little overdue because the problem has always been here.
That's right. And this is so exciting for us to be involved in something like this because you form these partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
So when Harris contacted PATHS and pitched his idea of the comedy show and getting us involved, that's when I met Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, since we've been in contact, now I know him. We can work together in the future. And the same with the other organizations and individuals who are involved. So every time you do something like this, it's really exciting because you reach a different demographic of the community. You form these new partnerships. You get more people involved. So then each time you're more and more successful.
I guess the thing is that as an organizer and an activist, somebody that's interested in these issues, key to all this is being open to suggestions and to ideas and not be the kind of person that says, we tried that a couple of years ago and it didn't work.
That's right.
You know, we've never done that. It doesn't work. This sort of thing. You have to be positive and outgoing and willing to try new things. I think it's wonderful, Harris, that you've sort of taken the bull by the horns here.
Oh, thank you.
And then these other organizations, there's some people putting some thought into this as well, and you come to them and their reaction is great idea, you know, it's wonderful.
Like, I'm getting a great support from all those people, like all those four organizations that I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping me promoting. So, I mean, yeah, and since it's a community event, and you know they're helping me, which is great. I'm really happy about it, actually.
Crystal, I wonder if we could just take a moment to just talk about what perhaps the research. I don't know how much research there is, but what are the causes of domestic violence? I mean, for some of us, like I say, we're living in a bubble, and in our own societal group or family, extended family, whatever. We don't see this, but it's there, and it seems to be growing.
That's right. And, you know, and even though it's not always visible on the surface, I suppose, really relationship violence it's present everywhere. So it happens in every country in the world. It happens in every ethnic community, every socioeconomic class, every age group. So it's not... you know, it's not a problem that's confined to one group or one place. We know that violence is a really pervasive societal problem, but there's definitely factors that, you know, that make it worse. And we know in Saskatchewan that we that some women are at greater risk. And the women in Saskatchewan that we're finding are reporting higher rates mm-hmm. of violence are young women. Younger and younger women are reporting incidents of domestic violence. Aboriginal women are at a higher risk, and women in rural and remote communities are at a higher risk. Now, all of the reasons for that are extremely complex, and, you know, it's a really detailed analysis to get into. But yeah, as we know, this problem has been going on for years, and it's definitely not resolved. Mm-hmm. But what we are seeing is more public awareness, more programming and support, and we still need it, right? Mm-hmm. The shelters are still busy. They still have wait lists. There's still the programs for perpetrators of violence are full, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, definitely all of this is needed, but it's improving in that people know that violence isn't okay. Mm-hmm. And if you hear about it or you see it on the street or it's someone in your family and you know, you'll stand up and say something, right? And I think mm-hmm. every year we're getting more of that awareness.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, and I think you'll probably agree with me, it's not that the actual problem has gotten any worse over the years. It's just that we're becoming more and more aware of the problem, you know, and, mm-hmm. and people are becoming aware and people are speaking up and saying, hey, we need to do something about this.
Exactly. Because, you know, yeah, it's always been there. It's just now there is more awareness. And, I mean, luckily there's more opportunity for people to get out sometimes. Now that there is more supports and more services in place, people have the opportunity to get out from those violent relationships and start again and seek the support that they need. But, unfortunately, it's still happening, right? So we still have to keep doing the work to prevent violence in the first place.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, like in case of your organization, how will you be utilizing the funds that you get?
Well, what we're going to do is it'll be used to support all of our member organizations. So when we have extra fundraising, what we do is we put it into developing resources and mm-hmm. education that can be shared among all 19 of our agencies. Mm-hmm. So it'll sort of kind of depend. We're still working on a few ideas, but it'll likely go toward either our conference, which is an educational thing that we do for all of the shelter and service workers, mm-hmm. or maybe to developing some new resources about violence.
And Sophia House, I guess that's pretty basic. They just have expenses.
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of extra fundraising, I guess what I'm trying to say, really helps to keep shelters and second stages going because mm-hmm. it's, you know, they need the funding to buy the groceries, pay the staff, and any extra bit of funds really, really helps.
Mm-hmm. I guess that kind of begs the question, where is the government in all this?
Yeah, and you know, not to put down the government either, because in Saskatchewan we're actually lucky that our shelters do receive a really good allotment of provincial funding. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky in that way, and in Saskatchewan we're lucky that we do have that support and that funding. But yeah, you always need more money, right? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, mm-hmm. operating costs get more expensive as the years go on and such. So yeah. So the fundraising does help, and especially mm-hmm. if you want to do extra mm-hmm. things, new programming to support the clients and such.
Yeah, ideally, you don't want to Band-Aid this. You want to find a solution, and likely the solution is going to be education, awareness, and programming to kind of turn the perpetrators around and get them to help themselves.
Mm-hmm, exactly. The prevention and education is where it's at. And you're going to have my boss, Diane Delaney, from PADS on your show because she's been doing an extensive research project on the origins of violence. Mm-hmm. So she's going to have to talk to you about that.
you know, you have to think to yourself, there's got to be an actual answer. We don't want to be fundraising to help the victims. We want to bore down a little further and prevent.
Well, that's right. You have to do at this stage of the game, I think both at the same time, right? You have to be providing those necessary supports for the victims and then also looking at that next step for the prevention.
And you know, somebody like yourself, Harris, it's just wonderful that you wake up one morning and say, I can do something about this. And Do you see yourself doing more of these things in the future?
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Like, yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, like how it started, like, well, since childhood, my parents have taught me, you know, to do charity work and mm-hmm. to help other people. So that's where I got originally mm-hmm. the good teachings from my parents. And this is my second show. And like now, you know, I'm, like, I am really motivated. The response that I got from the community and people are really happy, you know, about these shows. And they're actually, like, I had like so many people, like those who came to my first show, and they were so excited. They loved the show. And they told me they're going to come back again. So it's growing now, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting more people, more followers for this. So, yeah, for sure. This is my second show. And I'm as soon as I'm done with this one, I'm planning for my another show, which will be somewhere maybe in June or July mm-hmm. with a different cause. And most probably is going to be about the cancer. Because what happened last December, my grandmother, she passed away and mm-hmm. she became a victim of breast cancer. So I do feel the pain. And, you know, I've seen her suffering for the last 5 years. So that's something I was thinking about. So it's going to be most likely a cancer show, Stand Up Against Cancer, somewhere in June and July. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy. The great support that I'm getting from the community, you know, that's keeps me going on.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I'm talking here with Crystal Giesbrecht and Harris Kahn. We've reached the end of our first half hour, so we're going to take a break here and we'll come back. I'm going to play a little music, my favorite, Michael Franti. Love Michael. And we'll hear Michael first, and then we'll come back and talk some more about standing up against domestic violence.
Luck I had was you, and I know one thing, that I love you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back, come around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back, come around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know.
I love you.
And that's Michael Franti, my favorite. Hey, I love you. And good music. I always enjoy Michael Franti. Good stuff. And I'm Jim Hutchings, and here with Human Rights Radio, and special guests Crystal Giesbrecht and Harris Khan. We're talking about the fundraiser for Stand Up Against Domestic Violence. And when's that going to be happening?
Well, it's going to be happening February 10th, which is Sunday, and it's this Sunday.
Ah.
And it's going to be at the University of Regina.
Great.
And tickets are available at the door as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And we were just discussing during the break that you got 12 comics. Is that including yourself?
Yeah.
And,
of course.
Where are they all coming from? Are they all from Regina? Or
yeah, most of them are from Regina, Saskatchewan. And like the headliner is coming from all the way from Saskatoon. And he's one of the top comic in Saskatoon. His name is Daryl Jr. Kuzman. Mm-hmm. And he's coming all the way, you know, like he's every other comic, he's also volunteering, and he's coming all the way from Saskatoon just to be part of this event and support the cause. And yeah, I have 12 comics right now, and unfortunately, I mean, there were more requests, but unfortunately, I didn't have time to put them all.
Like, really? So you could have had more comics?
More than, yeah, I turned down like 6 comics requests.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is.
It's unfortunate they couldn't all fit, but I'm impressed that there's so many comics in Regina and that so many of them wanted to be a part of this.
Yeah, I was like quite amazed by the support that they were asking me, but unfortunately I told him not for this show, but for sure for the next
one. Keep them on the list.
Oh yeah, keep them on the list, and you know, try to, you know, have a fresh fresh talent for every show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So I told him, yeah, for sure for the next one, but not at this time, because you know, it's already like, you know, 12 comics, so it's
right, like, you've only got so much time.
That's true, and it's Sunday, so I don't want people to stay there longer. Mm-hmm. Maybe past.
So what time is it starting again?
It's starting at 7:00.
7:00.
And,
yeah.
Hopefully, it will be done by 9:30-ish.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I just want, you know, because it's a Sunday at 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You can only laugh so long. You get you're really tired of hard laughter for 2.5 hours. Then you're kind of.
Oh yeah, that's true, and it's, you know, it's 2 hours good enough for comedy. Yeah. Anything after that, like.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
Just be too hilarious. Yeah. People won't be able to take it any longer.
So now how many, roughly speaking, how many comics do you think there are in Regina?
Well, roughly speaking, there are lots of, they would be, you know, like active comics, if I say, mm-hmm. like actively performing once in a month or like maybe every week. There are around 10 comics, including myself,
okay.
that I'm in touch with, and we perform every, you know, Saturday at Gabo's,
mm-hmm.
or some other venue.
Right,
and
right.
Usually we perform at Gabo's. There's a comedy show there, but it's a weekly comedy show, so mm-hmm. we just go and try new material. And there's not many places where you can do comedy in Regina.
I think we have a comedy, we have a little comedy program here at CJTR.
Yeah, right? That's the one, Sean actually, he runs that Gabo's show every Saturday.
Oh, okay, right.
And and then he always welcomes new talent and very helpful person. If you want to be, you know, a comic, talk to him, mm-hmm. he can help you and put you on his show.
I'm just curious. It's something I haven't really thought about or noticed or anything. What kind of person do you find is a comic? Is it a very wide age range? Like, do you have somebody as old as me? Or
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question. What was your question about?
The age range. What kind of person is a comic?
A comic can be, you know, any person. It just, you need a good sense of humor, right? It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what your age or which ethnicity you're from. It's just like, you know, you just need to, you need to have a humor. And
well, I know you are a student at the U of R.
Yeah, I'm also a student, yeah,
right.
at the U of R.
But obviously you don't have to be a student to be a comic. What sort of other, like, I don't know, education range or occupational, is it just...
Could
you just
be.
Have a good sense of humor.
That's the main thing, like, you know, one of the main requirements, you need to have a good sense of humor, because I know some of the professional comics, once they were lawyers, they were practicing law, now they're full-time professional comedians traveling the whole world. And, professional doesn't really matter, you know, if you're funny, you just need to be funny, and, you know, you could be a lawyer, a cop, or a doctor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think about it, a good sense of humor is kind of an essential part of getting along in the world, no matter what your occupation is, you know. When you think about it, when you go and visit somebody, or somebody's visiting you, if you know that they're going to have something funny to say, or they have a funny way of looking at things, you're kind of happy to see them come in the door. And somebody else that maybe has a dark cloud over his head when he comes in, you're not that interested in talking to him.
It's true. Well. Studies show that funny people are more popular.
Right, yeah.
Yes, I am.
It's true. He's a really popular guy.
Well, like, that's sort of true. Like, I'm not bragging, but I'm quite fast making friends, and then we get, you know, making friends, and then it's quite fast, and I'm glad that I have so many friends. Those are helping me. So I think that's studies true.
And it doesn't matter what you do, whether you're working in a lawyer's office or you're working at Canadian Tire.
You just have to be able to see the humor in any situation, and maybe you're lucky if you've had some, you know, some life circumstances that you can look back on and... Yep. And laugh at.
Yeah, I would like to talk about that. What happened since the day I started doing comedy, I think I did change my life, because now if negative thing happens in my life, I always see the funny part of
right,
it.
Right, yeah.
Like recently, you know, a bunch of things happened which, like, you know, they were not good or not funny. But now I was thinking, what could be the funny items that I get from and put into my act? So I was working on that. I think I'm successful getting something funny out of that. Non-funny things.
Right, right.
So it does help, you know, to improve your life and see life from a different angle.
Yeah, and useful in a real life situation where you can maybe diffuse a difficult moment, a stressful moment with some humor.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it's very true what you said. Like it does help to diffuse and, you know, change the course of life, I guess, you know, maybe try to find funny out of negative things. And
yeah, and you know, it's really apropos of what we're talking about here, because what we're really talking about is this fundraiser for against domestic violence, which is a very serious topic, and I think it's easy to become discouraged, you know, because of the statistics, and I think that every once in a while it's a good idea to take a break and have a good time, and that's what's going to happen on Sunday.
Hopefully. Yeah, exactly.
You're right. I'm just wondering, too, we touched on this briefly at the beginning of the show, but there's going to be representatives of some of these different organizations that are benefiting from the fundraiser, and do you know how much, are they going to be available to talk, or will they have materials, or that sort of thing?
We'll be there. Well, I'm speaking for myself, but... Myself and Diane from PAS will be there. I know the Women's Center. I'm sure the Regina Immigrant Women's Center and Sophia House will be there as well. But we aren't taking an active role in the show. We're not going to be, you know, talking, doing anything. We are just there to be part of the audience and laugh and have a good time. So we are going to be just kind of there hanging out, and we'll be there if anyone has questions, and we can also, you know, direct people to our websites or get in touch with people later with information. But yeah, it's really a lighthearted kind of the comedy is the goal on Sunday night.
Is there anything else that's going to be involved in the fundraiser?
Yes, actually, something else that's really, this is really exciting, is there's going to be a silent auction taking place, and all kinds of different organizations and individuals in the community have donated these prizes, and really phenomenal, awesome prizes that you will want to bid on. And there's lots of them. And there's going to be a silent auction table set up throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. Who's in charge of that?
Actually, one of our Amnesty International volunteers, Mona Hill, she set that up. So she's taken that on, and she's been rounding up prizes, and she got in touch with Harris and volunteered her services for that. So she will be, she'll be there, so you can talk to her at the silent auction table, and hopefully people can bid on some awesome stuff.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, give me an example. What sort of stuff do you know what's going to be going on with the silent auction?
Well, yeah, there's the bunch of gifts that we got from the community, from different businesses. Like I got some gifts from Brown Tanning Salon, some gift cards and some lotions and all.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got a great, some great stuff from University of Regina, donated by the Vice President, Student Affairs and Vice President, External Affairs. And it's some hoodies and, you know, some UFR stuff.
Wow.
And then Mona Hill, like, you know, she's there. She's the, like, I would say, manager of the silent auction. Mm-hmm. She's been working really hard, and she got some great gifts. And she was telling me, Mona and I were just constantly talking to each other on Facebook about the silent auction. Yeah, and then she got some great stuff from different organizations for the silent auction.
I think I'd be really interested in the tanning stuff. I'm way too white.
It is February. Yeah. You look like you're kind of in need of it, Jim.
That's right. Just way too white here. So we've got the silent auction. We've got... So is there any other way for people to contribute other than like the $10 at the door? Is there going to be a possibility for them to contribute more in other ways?
I was thinking about this. I'm not too sure, but I was thinking it would be a good idea just to put a box, right? You know, a donation box if they want to contribute to this cause. You know, they can more than welcome to because it helps the cause and, you know, we need help. So that would be a good idea. I will talk to Mona about it and see what she says and how we can, you know, make that possible.
Alrighty. Wondering here now. I'm just wondering what would be the number. Okay, we've got comics and how many other, you've got what, six, did you say you had six more comics that that would have participated had they had the opportunity?
That's true, and I have to tell them, like, not for this show, but for the next show for sure.
And you're planning on doing that in June?
Yeah, maybe in May or possibly, June. Possibly, yeah. maybe in May or June, but yeah, for sure, somewhere around those 2 months. Yeah, it's going to be, and I think that will be a bigger and better show than this one.
So would it be the same... The same beneficiaries, or would you be changing that a little bit?
Maybe a little bit, depending on the... Because I have to do my research to see which organization does contribute to the cancer and all that stuff.
Since you were talking about cancer, though.
I was thinking about the cancer, and then... So I might have to, you know, approach different organization. Maybe. Like, it depends on, like, I have to do my research. I haven't done anything about that yet. Mm-hmm. But I might have to change the, you know, organization, you know, get different, depending on which organization that I...
Yeah, to me, it's just a wonderful way of supporting these groups because it's going to be fun.
That's right. And I personally think it's really interesting how Harris has been doing them for different topics, how he did homelessness. Now he's done domestic violence and he's interested in doing something for cancer in the future, different things. And it's good because it's, it keeps it interesting. Mm-hmm. It's always something new. And with each new event and new topic, you're also raising awareness with a different crowd as well. Mm-hmm. And for organizations like PATHS and the other women's organizations involved, it's interesting for us to be involved in kind of these one-time fundraiser and event. And that's exciting because it gets us involved. We make new partners like Harris. We work with a different crowd and we do something new.
I think one of the most valuable results of doing something like this, though, is that in a way you're encouraging other people to be creative. You know, they see what you're doing in support of standing up against domestic violence, and there's no end of issues. Let's face it, and they see what you're doing. Well, I wonder if we could do something similar or. Who knows? Be creative and have a good impact on serious problems.
Yeah, I just want to mention like about this. Like what happened recently, I just got an email from like your Facebook friend. He's a comic, a well-known comic in Toronto. And then when he saw the poster of my show, he was like, let's do something maybe in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, for sure. Once I'm done with this show, we can think about like putting a show maybe in Toronto or something similar. So, yeah, like people are like,
it just makes you wonder how far you can go with it.
That's true. And, you know, I hope one day I can take this tour or do some kind of similar stuff all around Saskatchewan, you know, do shows in different cities. That would be something I would like to do and might do it next year, hopefully, if things goes according to the plan.
Yeah, so if anybody's listening, give Harris a call.
Yeah, or, you know, if somebody, like, I'm always looking for volunteers and, you know, sponsors for my next show. So if somebody can help me, please contact me through my website. It's harriscon.ca. It's harriscon.ca.
Well, that's easy enough to remember. But let's just spell that out, though, seeing as we...
Sure. It's Harris is spelled with a single R. It's H-A-R-I-S. Mm-hmm. And my last name is Khan, K-H-A-N, and it's .ca. So it's harriscon.ca.
Harris Kahn, all one word?
Yeah, all one word.
Okay.
And .ca.
Okay.
So that's my website, and, you know, please feel free to send me an email and...
Yep, comments and suggestions.
For
and,
sure, yeah, that'll be, I'm always, you know, welcoming comments, suggestions, any feedback.
One thing I'd like to ask at this point, the topics and the sort of style of comedy that's going to be happening on Sunday, if somebody was a little concerned about sort of the topics that were going to be touched on, would they be concerned about this? I mean, it's going to be, where it's going to be is going to be basically adults only, right? It's not...
Yeah, it's going to be adults only since, you know, they will, alcohol will be served there, okay, as well, so it's 19 and over. Right. And if you're talking about the material, like what the comics will do, you know, all those are good comics and they're professional and they've been doing for years now. So they know, like, we might not be able to talk about domestic violence topic, you know, because there's...
Well, there's other topics, I think, that that some people would feel squeamish about, or, you know.
And with 12 comics, well, I've never heard them before, so this will be my first exposure to it. But I think you never really know, right? Because a lot of them are going to come with new material, so...
But they're going to be sensitive to the audience that they're going to be...
Oh, for sure, yeah, because, you know, it's a part of a comedy that you can't offend people, because if you offend people, then... I doubt that you're funny.
Yeah,
you might not last in the comedy world.
It's a different location. It's not as though you're actually in a late night club or something like that where you can get away with a lot of stuff.
And yeah, and the most of the, all the 12 comics, I mean, I've been working with them like for years now, and like they're all neat and clean, and I mean, so that's what I prefer. And they're, you know, they're more neat and clean because they will be more like, I would assume more like family audience will be there. So, you know, make
that's
it neat
what I'm
and
thinking.
Clean.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And yeah, like all the comics that's on going to be this show, I've been working with them. They're fairly neat and clean, and you know, they know their limits because the more for a comic, if you're more neat and clean, people will appreciate more, and you know, you become more funny and people will like you more. So the 12 comics that's going to be on this show there, I mean, working with them, they're pretty neat and clean, and they know their limitation.
Yeah, and in terms of topics for comedy, really there's no end of it in just everyday living. When you think about little things that happen in your own life, there's a lot of stuff that's really,
that's true.
You know,
like how I get my material, like I would try to focus on day-to-day life because I'm from a different ethnicity, right? So I have a different view for different things. And I do have like people like, you know, from, I have lots of friends from different ethnicities. So something might be like, today when I was at the university, I met this girl, she's from Uganda, right? So it's in my language, in Urdu, it's my native language. In Urdu, Uganda means you're fat. I was like, that's funny. So I like to work on these culture differences because I found them really funny. And when I do write stuff about it, people, like most of the people, it depends on the audience as well. Like if I'm doing from, you know, it's some international, like people from different, and they will get in, they laugh harder because they might have faced it or they would be in a similar situation. So that's how I get my material. And some of the other comics, those are going to be on that show, like they're married, so they talk about their, you know, married life. So it's...
No lack of material there.
That's true. So it's quite relevant to what we talk.
Sure, yeah.
The theme of the show. And I'm really excited they're going to be part of this show. And yeah, it's going to be a fun night.
And with 12 comics, I think the bonus is you're probably going to find all of them hilarious, but there's going to be something for everyone, right? Like even if, you know, one person's topic area maybe is not that hilarious to you, the next one probably will be because there's going to be such a range, like Harris said. So I think that in the 2.5 hours, we can expect definitely to be entertained and to hear a wide range of things. So that's going to be really fun.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking that I should find myself there. Yeah.
You really should, Jim. We can tell you where to get tickets.
I have some in my pocket. Oh.
All right. Where can we get tickets then?
Well, right now the tickets are on sale at the University Rodale Center, and people can contact Sophia House or, you know, Regina Immigrant Women's Center, and also University of Regina Women's Center if they want tickets, or they can buy at the door as well. And it's for $10 only.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it's Friday afternoon, and if you can make it to the University of Regina and get them from the table there, that is great. If you catch me while I'm in my office this afternoon, I will gladly sell people tickets. And also you can track Harris down or just get him at the door. But it sounds like a lot of people are going, so we would recommend showing up early to get a ticket and a good seat because it's probably going to be packed.
Yeah, it will be packed. That's a good suggestion. Thanks, Crystal, for that suggestion.
Okay, well, we still have a few minutes to go here. I think I've got one more final question to ask you, Harris. How long have you been a comic, and how did you get started in it?
That's a good question. Actually, I started in the March 2010. And how did it start? Like, I was a funny guy, you know, since elementary school, I guess. Lots of people told me, like, I'm a funny guy. And I was a class clown, actually. And then when I ended up moving to Regina, Saskatchewan, for my university education, and then, you know, I met people, made lots of more friends. So people found whatever I said, most of the things which I say was funny, right? And mm-hmm. they invited me to their parties, kind of entertain other people.
I'm just wondering, did you sort of become, like, inadvertently funny? You weren't trying to be funny, but you would just say things that came to the top of your head.
And, oh, yeah, it was just, like,
laugh,
natural, right?
You're a funny guy.
It's like... Yeah, like it was natural. And so lots of people told me I should be a comic. And I thought that's the hardest thing to do in the world, to be a stand-up comic. That's mm-hmm. what I was telling myself. And then I was trying to find myself, like my real ability. So I started doing student politics. I was a board director. I was a member of a student union as a director. Mm-hmm. But politics wasn't something that I think I would pursue for long. It wasn't my long-term career. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find myself, right? And then lots of people told me I was funny. So one day I decided I should be a stand-up comic. So I wrote, you know, some funny material from my day-to-day life. And for the first time I went on the stage, it was March 2010 at Exchange Club. And I wasn't professional, but I was funny. People were laughing so hard, and they loved my, you know, jokes. And I forgot half of my material. And I told them I forgot, and they were still laughing at that. They thought it was a part of my act, which wasn't. I was being honest.
Yeah.
And then, they liked it, and they invited me for the next time. And since then, I never stopped, and I'm working hard, and it's getting better and better.
Mm-hmm,
and
Yeah,
it's great and great. And now I'm like, you know, like I have also a passion. Like I have two passions. One for the helping people, thanks to my parents, and other stand-up comedy. So now I've combined them together. So it's beautiful now.
Yeah. I mean, and it sounds like you're just sort of scratching the surface here. You're finding your ability, plus you're finding out how you can really do good with it.
Oh, that's true. And like, so Regina Comics, you know, the comics in Saskatchewan, they're the pretty best, like, you know, people down to earth. And very friendly. They're always finding, you know, somehow to support the community using the talent.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, everything is working well. And, you know, finally we have a huge show now.
And you hear people like coming to Saskatchewan, like coming to Regina, because the audiences here are ready to laugh at themselves.
I would agree with you.
And I think that's true. I think when you go to a big city, you've got more people there that are saying, okay, let's see your stuff. You know, be funny. Will I laugh? You know. But Regina audiences are a little different. They're already having a good time, and they're going to enjoy you.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, I think we have come to the end of our time, and I want to thank Crystal Giesbrecht and Harris Kahn for being here and talking about our stand-up against domestic violence project, our event that's happening on Sunday. As we close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio, we hope you've enjoyed listening to and have learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. I have to print this out again so I can read it better. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., Amnesty letter writing happens at Atlantis Coffee at Victoria Avenue and Hamilton Street. Several Amnesty members will be there present to show you how to write about current Amnesty International appeals. Please feel welcome to join them for some letter writing. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."